ContraCast.
But I mean, Judas Priest is like, oh, please, no.
Yeah, they're bad. I mean, but, I love Another Thing Coming is a great song.
I was about to ask, what that's what you think the best Judas Priest song is?
Breaking the Law, Breaking the Law.
It's good. I think You Got Another Thing Coming is my favorite, just because I think it's fun and it's got like a bridge. It's got that cool little halftime bridge. But there's other ones I like. What's yours?
I don't have one. I think they suck.
Oh, okay. There you go. Perfect. I like Freewheel Burning for no reason. I thought that song was good. But all they right. have some songs that are so unbelievably bad. Like if you go to Spotify and do like the This Is Judas Priest, you'll be like, this is hot garbage really, really quick.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Too loud.
Too loud. I'm excited.
No, it's my fault. I had the headphone level set for normal Tim, not excited Tim.
I'm excited. Welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys on the Electricast Podcast Network. I've got the folks reaching out on Threads. Thank you. That is where it is best to reach us because Elon Musk is a terrible, evil person. Right?
Fair.
Ben Barton, you are in your safe space in Knoxville, Tennessee, correct?
That's right.
Excellent. Jeff Simons, it would appear, since you have fuzzied your background, that you might be, are you in the sphere right now?
Well, I'm not now, but I sure was this weekend. I was lucky enough. My buddy Phil hooked me up with one of his fan club tickets, and I went and saw the U2 Sphere show number 4.
All right, now pause. What is the Sphere?
The Sphere is the most spectacular music venue I've ever been in. It is a 20,000 seat performance space that is not an arena. It's not anything else. It's not a basketball arena. It's not multi-purpose. It's a performance space. And it goes, I mean, there's people on the ground floor, and then it goes crazy straight up one side, and the other entire side of the Sphere is a gigantic interactive video screen. And I was completely prepared to be impressed, but it also has Dolby Atmos sound wherever you're sitting. There's 160,000 speakers in the ceiling and all around. It completely blew my mind. It was not the best show I've ever seen, but it might have been the best show I've ever seen, just in terms of the jaw-dropping. I threw my hands up in disbelief like 11 or 12 times at like the visuals and the quality of the sound. Yes. I couldn't believe it.
So let's unpack that a little bit as far as the space that you're in. Like, how does it compare to Lupo's Heartbreak Hotel?
So I would say it's the best sounding space I've ever been in somebody was using a PA. Like, obviously, if somebody's just sitting next to you playing the guitar, or you're in a little tiny place and someone's just performing in a tiny space, that sounds really good. But in once you involve electricity or microphones, this is the best sounding show I've ever seen in my life. And it's not even close. Like, the sound, I was 5 rows from the top. I was like, and the worst, I mean, nosebleeds of the nosebleeds, they were ants down, because it's straight up. The pitch is like straight up and down. Like, I'm looking down on the top of them, and it sounded like I was in the third row. But it sounded like I was in the third row wearing like quality headphones. I could hear the pick scraping on the bass. I could hear like the individual notes on the hi-hat. They were right there. And then when it's over and you're applauding, you can hear the like couple hundred people around you, but the giant cheer is like this quiet like wave kind of in the background, so you're not crushed by crowd noise. I mean, my ears ring 24 hours a day pretty substantially,
right. But you've already
my friends were not ringing at the end of the show, even though it was really nice and loud, like the, you know, you could feel the kick drum in your chest, but they had complete control. All the amps are underneath the stage, and they had the drums and plexiglass, so they had control over, there was no ambient noise. It was just the mix. and they had complete control over it, no matter where you were sitting. So
is the screen, the video screen, like we see?
It's not okay. So not a video screen, like the entire sphere from behind me all the way to the floor behind the stage and all the way until the seats start is one giant screen, and it can become anything. And I just can't overemphasize how fucking crazy the visuals were. Like, I literally was like, I was like, what am I looking at? They only used it on like 14 of the 22 songs, so it was special every time. They didn't overuse it, but each song had a different like theme and approach, and it did things you didn't know it could do as each song happened.
Is it a video of them singing, like for the guy in the bad seats? You're like looking at Bono.
No, that was that sometimes, but no, it was like, the first song, when I came in, it was like a brick wall. And I was like, oh, that must be what it looks like before they turn on the screen. But then they started playing, and for every kick drum, like the brick wall started to lose chunks and like fake sand came down, and then it broke open, and then it was the band, but then it disappeared and it became a giant like spray of words and colors and ones and zeros for the fly. And then it became this pastiche of Vegas culture for even better than the real thing. And then Wild Horses, it was fiery sparks behind us. And then behind them became this like beautiful lake with like a fiery flag reflecting in it. Dude, it's crazy. It was crazy. I was just laughing two or three times.
Right.
And then sometimes the stage itself was the monitor. So like they were projecting themselves underneath their own feet. The stage changed colors six or seven times. Like, it was so clever. It was so well. And it was the most unscripted U2 show I've seen since the Joshua Tree tour. Like, they didn't use a click track for like a third or half of the show. They audibled in the middle. Like, they decided to do two different songs that were on the set list. They interacted with the audience.
Don't they play Octane Baby in order?
No, actually, to their great credit, they play the whole record, but they mixed it up. So they play half of Octane Baby, but in a really satisfying order. And then they did like a five song, like it was kind of stripped down and kind of not. Then they did the second half of Octane Baby, and then they did like a 35-minute greatest hits closer.
Oh wow! Because the Joshua Tree show, they just played that record in order, period, and then they did an encore after.
Yeah, it was 2 hours and 10 minutes with no encore break. It was like the lights went out, they came on, and shit went crazy for 2 hours and 10 minutes. And then it was over. They played 22 songs, and it was a really, I had not remembered how much I liked Octane Baby. And the part that was so cool was they kept the tracks and overdub use to a really bare minimum. Like, you know, U2 shows got more and more and more and more like reliant on the back, like having the tracks.
Yeah.
And like 90% of the show is a 3-piece rock band with a singer. Like Adam made some mistakes. Edge had some pick squeak, but that was what was so cool about it. Is I was like, this is the most technologically spectacular thing I've ever seen in my life, period. And it's a four person rock show. Like they sounded like a band in a club surrounded by this spectacular technology, and the marriage of that, like it really felt human, like deeply human, even though like I was just
far away from them and
gobsmacked by the technology. Yeah.
What?
Well, you know who the brilliant mind is behind the sphere?
No.
Please tell me it's not somebody who
James Dolan.
Oh, that's right. Oh. It's the Knicks. It's the owner Knicks
owner. Of the New York Knickerbockers. Totally useless human being.
One can only hope his blues band will be playing the sphere sometime.
Correct.
Soon.
Yeah, this is a guy who inherited the ownership of the Knicks and the Rangers and Madison Square Garden and Cablevision from his much more able father.
Thank God.
And this part's not his fault. I mean, he's had a whole bunch of substance abuse problems. But he's managed to come out of that. But he's not managed to come out of that unscathed or being a good human or a good owner of these various things.
No.
Nick, well, this is
his real passion is music. And his real passion is his blues band. And he's so for example, his blues band has opened for the Eagles. When the Eagles played at Madison Square Garden, he gave them more money so that he could open for them. And then I've opened for the Eagles. 20,000 screaming people loved me before the Eagles. And I was like, they were screaming, but that was not love.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Well,
all of that being said, it's really hard for me to accept that this worked out. Like, I just can't believe that he managed to spend all this money and that it's actually kind of cool. Even before he did it, when the NBA summer stuff was on, they turned the outside of it into a basketball. And I was like, that does look like it's sort of cool. And then when I heard that the first act's going to be U2, I mean, you'll recall this. I mean, the Joshua Tree, the visuals on that.
Yes.
Just a screen behind them with movies. The movies were so beautiful.
It was incredible, right?
Yeah. It's Mothers of the Disappeared is the name of that song, right? So I don't like that song. By that part of Joshua Tree, I'm like, this is the part where I would take the needle off and give up. The movie that went with that was so powerful and moving, like this beautiful black and white tour through South America with like sad looking women, which of course perfectly fit the song. So when I heard they were doing it in the Sphere, I was like, wow, this could really be good. So I'm thrilled.
And it was, I mean, I saw that tour and I thought that was the most spectacular video screen I'd ever seen. And that those visuals were so powerfully connected. And this just took it to a completely other level. Like, it's so immersive. I felt like, I felt like I had the perfect seat and I had the worst seat in the house. I can't imagine what it's like sitting in the middle.
Have we discussed the ABBA show in London?
No.
All right. So the precursor to this is the ABBA show in London. So they brought in the remaining members of ABBA and they put them in those suits with the sensors on them. And they had them play an entire ABBA show. And so they have all the movements, the natural movements of the band, except it's an old band, but the band doesn't appear. It's a hologram of the band. And because they have the shapes, they can make whatever shape they want. So it's ABBA 1978 moving as ABBA 2018 would do. And it's in this, I don't know, it's like a 6,000 or 7,000 seat arena right by the London Eye in London. And you come in. And you watch a hologram ABBA play the show and it's sold out for it's like £250 per seat. And it's sold out for the next year and a half. Nobody can get into it. And people love it.
Yeah. And you know, Kiss is next. Kiss is doing it next. They've already been filmed.
Oh, dude. First of all, next? I mean, this is they're still going to, presumably there will still be live acts with actual live people that are not in spheres, but it's not clear. Like, I mean, this may be the future of that part of the entertainment.
Well, I will say, I'm sure that's fun, but this was so human. Like, it was
Here's the thing: when you play against a video screen, the songs are the same length. They're not. I mean, it's not a show the way I would prefer to see a show.
I know what you're saying. Scott Schimmel
sent me a 92 Pearl Jam video.
Right.
And because of you, I have, I don't know, half a dozen bootlegs from those years. And the Wygo, like all of those songs are between 5 and 8 minutes long. Like they're different every night. They're doing different things. And you just can't do that in the Sphere.
You can't. Well, you could, depending on how you use it. Like what they did was they had 14 songs that were choreographed by length and they didn't stretch them out. And then they didn't use the crazy visuals for 8 songs. They close lit the stage and they played and they audibled and they took breaks and they were like and that was so important. Like if it had just been like 20 set pieces, I still would have been blown away, but I would have had that I felt like the show, right? But this, they were brilliant and not like over relying on the technology. That was pretty cool.
Are they playing every night? Like how many nights are they taking off a week?
They're only playing 2 or 3 nights a week. So Bono's voice, that was the biggest surprise. Like Bono's usually my least favorite part of a U2 show by some stretch. He sounded incredible. Like he sounded incredible and it wasn't a track and it wasn't like, he was really singing because he was missing occasionally and he was like changing. He changed a lot of lyrics. He changed melodies. But I think only singing 2-3 times a week, he's in good voice. And because they have a complete control, he's not screaming. Like he's just singing.
How long are they going to be there?
Till through December. Ooh. And then I think a really fun game will be who are the next 5 acts to play the Sphere. Like my friend Phil and I were thinking about it, like the Stones with this new album, I would be really surprised if they don't, because they can do the holographic thing. They can rely on can rely on it to prop them up.
Like the seats would have to be $1,000 each for the Stones to do it.
Yeah, but I think I got to be honest, man. Like anybody will pay. I mean, we were so lucky to pay 140. Like 140 felt like exactly what I mean. I felt about right. Like I was like, that was $140 worth of entertainment. People are paying $1,000 now in the secondary market for this show. But I think Lady Gaga is a natural. I think Taylor Swift is a natural.
Taylor Swift is way too big for that.
I think she could charge $10,000 a seat. I think there'll be an audience for it. I mean, wow. I know Fish is talking to him, which I think is hilarious.
Nice. That would be great.
The ultimate non-synchronous band wants in. So it'll be really interesting to see who goes in there and wants to do it.
Well, it'd be cool.
Closing story. I love that, Jeff.
It'd be cool if the Rolling Stones did it, because they've got those great videos from the Harlem Shuffle, right? That could be part of the Sphere backdrop. Sorry.
I can't. Eventually, you will go to a show in a theater like this. They're going to build a bunch of them. And
right.
I can't wait for you to see one of these things and be like, oh, yeah, I totally get it.
It's going to be great. My old neighborhood's doing good.
And I'm seeing Wilco at the Greek Theater, which is my favorite venue in the world, next Saturday. And I'm so interested to see what it'll be like to see one of my favorite bands and one of my favorite venues in a more traditional rock show setting and compare and like, can it land?
Yeah.
The way did.
Without melting clocks and it doesn't happen.
I burst out laughing in disbelief at the end of four or five songs because I couldn't believe how powerful the marriage of the sound and the experience and the visuals were. Yeah.
So cool.
Three different acts that have been discussed on this podcast released new albums this week.
Yeah.
To put them in order. Can you name the three acts, Jeff?
That put out albums this week?
Yeah, last Friday was the release date. Wilco's one.
Yeah, right. Cousin. Right?
Okay, good. Yeah, I got nothing. What else? Jeff?
No. Go, Ben.
Drive the bus. All right, so Sufi and Stevens.
Yeah, I knew that. Dang it.
Put those in order in terms of downloads. And not downloads. I mean, listens on Spotify.
Wait, what was the third one? Sorry.
The new Drake record.
Oh, right. Oh, I assume it goes Drake, Sufjan and Stevens, Wilco.
Ditto.
That is right. How is it possible that Sufjan and Stevens is bigger than Wilco?
Yeah.
Because it's been a long break. I think
Wilco numbers were really low.
Yeah. I also think that's an audience that buys the CDs. I mean,
that's partially right, but I think that they're like putting out a country album every 6 months. They've been attempting to murder their fan base. I'm totally serious.
You might be right. And what's the early take on Cousin?
Better than the last couple, because it's not all country. My new take is that he's got to stop writing songs on the acoustic guitar.
No, right?
Though it's not a country record, every song is an acoustic guitar song where they're layering things that are way more interesting on top of it. He's got to write with an electric guitar or write on a piano or write something. I mean, he's at a real rut, in my opinion.
Well, it's funny. He's not in a rut. He's so prolific as to have, like, he's repeating himself. Like,
a deep rut. He's not in a rut.
He's written 150 songs in the last, like, 18 months, but they appear to be all in his living room.
Yeah.
With the same guitar.
Doing his soft voice thing. I'm like, how about if you sing? You know, not everything has to be kind of a whisper.
I'll be really interested to see what the show is. The show is 2 hours of the soft country stuff. I don't know how that's going to be to sit through.
Dude, I mean, I can tell you, I saw him in Knoxville 6 months ago and it was great.
Okay.
It wasn't like an all-time Wilco show, but it was still great. And even the country stuff was so much better. I mean, they're just so much better live.
Well, yep. I love the fact that we are coming out of the gate true to form as 50-year-old white guys, just like a YouTube conversation, a Wilco conversation. This has been great, guys. Thanks so much. We will complain about other things later. No, I'm kidding. Our musical road trip continues right now, and we're arriving in Birmingham, England.
We're in the Midlands.
We're in the Midlands. And this is the song to herald our arrival. Let's go.
Johnny Ray, indeed.
Poor old Johnny Ray. One of the original crooners. That's Dexy's Midnight Runners, hailing from Birmingham, England, with what I thought was the most Irish song ever.
By the way, I thought they were Irish, too.
Yeah. Who knew? Although, huge Irish population in Birmingham. We'll get to that in just a minute.
We're all in on that song, right? Just a great, great song.
Great
I love
song.
That song.
That was great a huge song. Hit on the dance floor at High River College and
excellent.
Also law school. I would go
come
out
on,
hit it so I'm oh dude. The,
riot. Come on.
I actually wish that you'd started at the bridge. That's where you're yeah. in my opinion, that's where it all really happens.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So it's good. Amazing.
And that was one that I played for the girls and they were like, wow, we really like that song. Like, no.
Have you you like me? Right. Did you go through the Dexys catalog looking for other Come On Eileens and come up empty?
Didn't happen. Did they're not there?
Gino is okay. And there's
the
like
thing that was really funny is that it came out and it comes out in the early 80s, right? Like maybe 82.
Yeah, 82.
And so I knew enough not like that's when I was in high school. I was like, oh no, Dexy's Midnight Runners. I will not be buying a record. I'm gonna need to hear a second song, and I never heard a second song on the radio, so I was like, fine.
Yeah.
And then when I got to college, I was equally cheap. I'm like, I'm certainly not going to buy a CD now. Like, that's $15. And there's not even like a greatest hits for Dexy's Midnight Runners. But then when Spotify came along, I was like, now here's my time. Like, maybe I'll find a hidden gem. But nope, no luck at all.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because like you hear that song, and you're like, there's got to be at least one to three other, and you can make a nice little 15-minute Dexy's little mix for yourself.
Yeah, no. Nope.
The actual, as we've mentioned before on the podcast, is that the amazing thing is to write one really good song.
I know.
Uh-huh. See, you know how hard it is to do that?
It's so
no
hard.
Fans never do that.
Don't fuck
like that. Instead of being mad at Dexy's Midnight Runners, I'm like, good job by y'all.
I know.
Done, good sirs.
I know.
And a solid music video at the time.
Oh, that woman in the overalls. Oh,
overalls, man. Come on.
God.
That's
quite adorable.
Sister of the lead singer of Bananarama. Who knew?
How about that?
Yeah. Good times. Hey, Come On Eileen reached number one in the United States of America for 1 week in April of 1983. It knocked out what song?
April of 1983?
That had spent 7 weeks at number one.
I'm going to say Beat It.
No, it knocks out Billie Jean.
Nice.
And
that's
then
a great, solid guess though, Jeff.
And then is replaced by Beat It. So
I'm right in between the Billie Jean Beat
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Michael Jackson had like 12 weeks at number one, except Dexy jumped in there in between. So excuse me.
That's amazing. That's how popular that song was. Like that is not that's amazing. Because I mean nobody was challenging Michael Jackson that year.
I know. So Birmingham, England, big city. What's the population? Jeff Simons, closest to the pin.
400 million. I'm so bad at this. Now, okay. In all seriousness, Birmingham is 2.7 million people.
Okay. Ben, you going to go over or under?
I'm going to go under.
It is under. It is 1.1 million. Can you give
you
me-
said it was a big city, you schmuck.
No. It's still British.
I'm going to discuss this when we get to my part.
Ben, can you give me the top five largest cities in England?
Yeah. London, London, nothing else matters. I'm done now, right?
What a jerk. Why are you pissing off our English audience? My God.
First of all, they got to agree with that. There's one city that matters in that entire stupid country.
Ben is not taking his pain.
You're not helping. Jeff, would you like to play the game?
I'll try. London, Manchester, Birmingham, Liverpool, and Newcastle.
Leeds is next if we're looking at metropolitan areas. London's
Manchester's smaller than Birmingham, though, right?
Birmingham is second. Manchester is third.
I did pretty good, though. That's not bad.
I thought you did good.
That was really well done. Yeah.
So it's the it also has the third largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world, behind which two cities, Ben Barton?
Well, Dublin.
Dublin and
New York City.
Excellent. Excellent. Dublin and New York City.
I actually can't believe New York's
not making it despite Ferris Bueller.
Yeah,
I know. Ferris Bueller had a lovely selling point for the St. Patrick's Day parade, but no.
That's awesome.
Jeff Simons, we went to graduate school in Oxford, England.
We did.
We traveled to Stratford-upon-Avon, which is not too far from Birmingham. But I was, you know, we never made it to Manchester. We never made it to Birmingham. And I'm kind of kicking myself now. But Ben Barton, this is the portion of the show we like to call Tim and Jeff Friends Forever. And the question is, name the four cities in Europe we visited during graduate school, and I'm going to give you a hint. We got to one by train, one by car, one by plane, and one by ferry. So we had to take the train to the ferry, but those are your clues. Four cities in Europe that you think Jeff and I would have visited.
So you visited London.
We did indeed. Also Edinburgh, but yeah, okay, good. I forgot about that.
I was going to do Edinburgh. I don't get to count Edinburgh?
No, Why did you just give him that?
Because we took a car to Edinburgh. I totally forgot we went to London. All right, keep going.
I was going to get Edinburgh. That was an obvious one.
You get Edinburgh. You're two for five.
Did you go to Dublin?
So there are five, yeah.
We went to Dublin.
Excellent. That was the ferry.
Okay, great. So I'm at three of five, huh?
That's correct. Yeah. You're on fire.
I'm going to go ahead and say Paris.
Yep. Paris by train. Excellent.
Run the table.
So now we need a flight. What's left is a flight.
Yeah.
Rome.
That's a good guess. Think poor graduate students who are looking for the cheapest city in Europe in which to party.
Warsaw? I mean,
no, we went to Prague.
Oh, Prague. Yeah, that's good
pretty good. Yeah.
In the neighborhood, actually.
Yeah, it really was. That was a really good guess.
Jeff Simons, out of those five, which was your favorite?
I don't want to pick a favorite. They were all great.
See, this is how you cater to an audience, Ben.
The biggest laugh was on the Charles Bridge in Prague. That was hardest laugh. I almost peed my pants. We were laughing so hard. And I think I was probably most charmed by Edinburgh because I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. But Dublin was
fantastic.
Dublin was hard to beat, like, because we had just read Ulysses. We were primed for the pump. Like, it was great.
Good stuff. Europe.
And your brother tagged along for Dublin, which was
which is so fun.
Its own form of awesomeness. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, so the interns have been working very hard in the last few days trying to filter out Birmingham songs from Birmingham songs for the compilation here in the torture basement.
Woo! I was wondering if we were going to get Randy Newman's Birmingham in a faux pas. Yeah.
Or John Mellencamp when Jesus left Birmingham. There is one act that might have slipped through. But it's such a beautiful song, and you'll hear it right off the top. Keep it in there, even if they're talking about Alabama. I'm actually not sure what they're talking about. But this is the Torture Basement. I've got 15 songs. You are going to guess the artist for all 15 songs. And okay, this one is going to be pretty darn torturous. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. It's 14 songs. Just 14.
Okay. I have figured out this week how we can stop and guess and then keep going. So that'll
look
be
at
nice.
Us growing yeah. up here on the
okay.
podcast.
Okay. Are we ready? Here goes the first pass.
Let's go.
That drum came down from Birmingham. All the people you abuse. When you reach the wall, you can beat your drum. Stop your roadies in Birmingham. Panic on the streets of London. Panic on the streets of Birmingham.
Was that 14?
Yeah, I counted okay. 14.
Okay, what do you think? 11?
Oh, if we get 11, it'll be a miracle. All right. That first song's god awful.
Ben Barton, I know you're getting to the last one. So I'm excited.
No way. I was really struggling with that. I'm about to hear it again.
I'm excited for you to get that last one. Hey, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll come back with the compilation in just a second. Hey, welcome back. All right, how do you want to do this, Jeff?
All right, I think we should do the like one at a time, and then we'll just see what we get. So,
all right,
here we go. Starting again.
I got a guess on this.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. I've got a guess. Do you want to guess, Jeff, or no?
No, I have no idea who that is.
Judas Priest is from Birmingham.
That's good. I was going to guess Def Leppard. I was trying to think of British metal bands that might have losers from Birmingham.
Well, remember I said that we weren't sure which Birmingham this song was about.
So this is a shitty American metal band.
It is indeed a shitty American band.
I have no idea who it is.
It is Night Ranger.
That's awful.
You suck. That's just so unfair. That's just not called for at all. First of all, I'm going to score that for Judas Priest. That should be, you should have given us a Judas Priest song in that slot.
Keep going. Number two.
Oh my God. I cannot place that. I mean, it could be Lloyd Cole.
No idea. Go with Lloyd Cole, sure.
Lloyd Cole and the Commotions.
Donovan.
No, the next song is Donovan. Your notes are incorrect.
Oh, shit. Wait. Oh, whoa. Oh, do it again. Do it again. Oh, you should get this then. You're right. I did flip them.
I can't place it. I can't get it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I wish it was Donovan so you wouldn't have to eat this. It is the Kinks.
That's the Kinks?
Yeah, The Road, live.
Oh, that's why his voice sounds all low and weird. I had the right year, though. It was the 80s. Okay.
Okay.
This is Donovan. And awful. This song's awful.
Let drum come down from the mean
that is some terrible. This next song I've got, Ben, this is The Police.
Yeah, I was going to get that. I have The Police. Yeah.
It's a B-side called A Sermon.
I'd never heard of it.
It's the B-side to Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic.
Oh.
Which I actually had on a 45. That's how I know that song so well. All right, here we go.
Oh, I got this.
What is it, Ben? Yep.
That's The Smiths.
Yeah.
Yep. Hang the DJ, hang the DJ.
And then, Jeff, you had number six?
Yeah, I totally got it. But Ben knows this one, too.
All right, Sex Pistols.
Sex Pistols.
Yeah, that's Bodies, right? Is the name of that song.
Yep.
All right. I think you have brought back one of last week's torturers. That's The Fall, isn't it? Isn't that Mark E. Smith?
Very good. Wow. That is The Fall.
I don't know what song it is. I just recognize
him. The Birmingham School of Business in Birmingham is the name of that song.
Well, that seems like an appropriate one to pick for the compilation. And I know this next one is
right. I got the next one too, yeah.
Yeah.
Say it, Ben.
The Pogues. What song is that?
Streets of Sorrow into Birmingham.
Birmingham 6.
6, yeah.
Nice.
It's on Fall from Grace. Now, the reason I'm confused by number two is I thought this was the king. Did you double up the Kinks?
Why do you think that's the Kinks?
Because that's Ray Davies singing, isn't it?
He might have had a solo career there.
Oh, my God. You picked a Ray Davies solo song?
Ray Davies.
I'm taking that.
I'm taking that to the bank.
All right. Well, I redeemed myself, I guess, for missing the Kinks song. All right, here we go. I think we're going to do pretty well here. We got a little string. Benny?
Yeah, it's Wayne Mitchell McCartney.
Yep.
That's, by the way, the Wings song is called Hell in Wheels.
Yeah.
It's a play on Hell on Wheels, but with the name Helen.
I thought it was a play on Helen Hughes playing, but okay, we'll say it's a Helen one. All right. And this is Electric Light Orchestra. And the reason you know is because it quotes Rhapsody in Blue at the end, like the complete doofuses that they are.
Ben, who's that?
Ben's got that one. Yeah, that's English Beat.
Yeah, English Beat. Excellent. You guys, hold on. You're on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. One more.
All right. I don't know either one of these, but I
don't have anything else written down. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to have a guess on this one, though. Okay, I've never heard that song before. But I think Timmy's bringing back ones that screwed us. That's Travis, isn't it? Is that Travis? Did I get it?
I would have to be insane to bring two bands back the next week. And I am. That is Travis. Excellent.
So who's the last one?
11 out of 10. Let's concentrate on the woman, Ben.
Well, my name ain't Drew. It's Skilly. You know what I mean?
Where you from, Gilly?
Birmingham, Bam.
Where are you from? She sounds like in her most famous one-hit wonder song, where she also talks. That was Nina Cherry.
Oh! Oh.
The Buffalo Stance.
I love that song, Buffalo Stance, by the way.
Me too. We've done that on the podcast.
That's
a great song. You guys, you did very, very well for what I thought was going to be a very tough Midlands edition of the Torture Basement.
That felt good. We got a little roll going there. That's all why right. You listen to obscure B-sides, so you can get the police a sermon when you're 54.
And you knew it would come back. Hey, some more facts about Birmingham, England. So is it Aston Villa? Is that how I pronounce the name of the Premier League team? So the Aston Villa manager calls up the managers of other teams in other towns and says, hey, what do you think about we do a home and away match next season? And we call it, like, I don't know, the Football League. This is the very first English Football League starts thanks to the Aston Villa manager in Birmingham, England. And I'm wondering, what is the date that idea came about?
Ooh, what is the first organized
formation
year
of a professional soccer league in England? Yep.
I'm going to say the 1880s.
You are exactly correct. Can you get even more exact?
I'll say 1888, because it's fun to say.
Oh, my God. You're on. The correct answer is 1888. Oh, God. All right. Ben, Jeff's light is shining now. Let's see how you do with this. There is another sport that traces its origins back to Birmingham, England, at least the modern form of the sport. What game was invented around 1860 in Birmingham, England? At least this modern version of the sport.
Rugby.
Such a good guess. They do have a good rugby history in Birmingham, but the correct answer was tennis.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. That's fascinating. All right. This song is particularly for Jeff Simons. So think about that, Jeff. Who opened a coffee, tea, and drinking chocolate shop in 1824?
Cadbury.
Excellent. John Cadbury did, and it lost money, and his sons are like, you know what? Let's just focus on the chocolate and get rid of the coffee and tea. Good call by the sons way back in 18. I think they ditched the coffee and tea in the 1860s as well. 1824, chocolate comes from Birmingham.
No, Cadbury chocolate.
Okay, Cadbury chocolate. Right? What else comes from Birmingham? Heavy metal. Good.
Wait, we're not going to agree to that. That's not right. You don't agree with that, Jeff.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Plastic, or an early form of plastic.
I don't agree with that.
The postage stamp, and appeasement.
That's where Neville Chamberlain is from Birmingham.
Chamberlain's from Birmingham, so I think.
That's a good
pretty
joke.
Much that's where it started.
Well done. I assumed it was two people in the Cadbury coffee shop fighting over the last fruit and nut bar, and they did.
And James Watt and the steam engine traced their way back to the City of a Thousand Trades, Birmingham, England. And what we're going to do, Jeff Simons, is we're going to play with this idea of James Watt as Birmingham's favorite son for a long time, until someone put that steam engine on a crazy train and there was a new favorite son.
I don't mean to be imitating the laugh at the beginning of Crazy Train.
I didn't even go to school for this stuff. So this is
That was just really well done. All right, here we go. Little Ozzy.
All aboard!
Funny that, you know, when I was in middle school and there was talk of this guy who chomped the head off a bat on stage, and it's like so scary. I'm like, oh my god, what? Ah, and I imagine like bat blood coming down this guy's face, like, and then you listen to the line, like, people need to learn how to love and forget how to hate. I'm like, oh, it's so warm and nice.
No, and
it's
also like crazy, you know how it goes.
I know,
is he middle-aged? It's hard to be me. It's just a lot of things going on in Ozzy's life.
That has more to do eating with the Beatles than it does with bat eating. Like, it's a big, pretty melody. Like, that sounds, yeah, that sounds great, man.
So the guitarist on that song is Randy Rhoads, one of the most famous heavy metal guitarists. He died in a plane crash in 82, which, like, the hardcore Ozzy heads are like, that was the death of it all. Like, he was going to be Hendrix. You just don't understand, blah, blah, blah. One thing that I think is hilarious, and this is off the top of my head, so I may have this wrong, is the guy dies, and then after he dies, there's an Ozzy revisitation of this song, where Ozzy claims that he wrote not only the lyrics and not only the melody of the singing, but the entire song, and that he hummed the guitar riff to Randy Rhoads, who did it based on Ozzy's specifications. And I was like, if that guy didn't die in a plane wreck, he'd be at your house choking you right now. Like, there's no way that that's true.
There's no way that story gets told unless the other guy is
dead. Of course. Ross is like, all right, listen, it goes bada 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 bada. You play that. You play that. Like, that's definitely not what happened.
No. Well, especially because you just sounded so much more coherent than Ozzy ever did.
Oh, yeah. Well, keep in mind, he's busy. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So that's Ozzy was in a band called Black Sabbath first.
Yes.
And Black Sabbath has nothing to do with Judas Priest.
Nothing to do with Judas Priest.
Because what I've done is I've kind of put all the metal bands together
into like one scary group of people you're not allowed to listen to. I love that.
Like, there are other bands like from Birmingham, like Godflesh. I'm like, okay, no. Like, we do not call our band Godflesh. That's just sacrilegious. All these scary names. But are you picking them for your... Who are you picking, Jeff?
I'm not doing heavy metal. I was going to do Black Sabbath, but I just don't love them enough. Like, there are a handful of Black Sabbath songs I absolutely love, and I'm actually in it for the really early Black Sabbath. Like, the first record is kind of funny and cartoony and sludgy, but by the time they're all coked up and they're trying to play slow, I just...
You're out.
I just have to be in the exact mood, and a whole Black Sabbath album is 10 minutes too long. Like, I never make it through. I like Paranoid. I can listen to Paranoid all the way through and enjoy it.
Oh, and dude,
like,
you did War Pigs on the podcast.
Yeah.
We've done the best Black Sabbath song.
Yeah, no question.
I think you'll agree with me. Like, Judas Priest suck.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm a fan of this genre. Like, metal genre. I have no beef with that whatsoever. I consider Def Leppard to be just masterworks. But I mean, Judas Priest is like, oh, please, no.
Yeah, they're bad. I mean, Another Thing Coming is a great song.
Ask, that's what you think the best Judas Priest song is?
Breaking the Law. Breaking the Law.
It's good. I think You Got Another Thing Coming is my favorite just because I think it's fun. And it's got like a bridge. It's got that cool little halftime bridge. But there's other ones I like. What's yours?
I don't have one. I think they suck.
Oh, okay. There you go. Perfect. I like Freewheel Burning for no reason. I thought that song was good. But they have some songs that are so unbelievably bad. Like if you go to Spotify and do like the This Is Judas Priest, you'll be like, this is hot garbage really, really quick.
Well, what we could do, because we're gonna end the first half of the podcast right now. So I want you to play a Judas Priest song to play us out, and then we'll start next week's podcast and our three picks in Birmingham, England.
Oh, I'm so sorry to have to wait a week to have that conversation, but
I know.
All right, let me see if I can find one that's really. Oh, here we go. No, this is probably the closest thing they have to like a.
This is
a,
Judas Priest.
Judas Priest, the closest thing they have to a song that regular people would not hate. This is okay. Living After Midnight.
Oh.
That is the drum beat everybody starts with.
Sounds like Kiss. Till the morning, I'm gone. All right.
Jeff, that song comes out after Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day, right?
It sure does.
I mean, it's so fun. I mean, it's like, it's so unoriginal. It's like, it's aggressively unoriginal.
Yeah.
So
there's been a lot of songs about rocking all night. What can we do about that? They're like, well, that's tough, man. I don't know. How are we possibly going to fix
what
that?
About?
Hey, what if we just chose After Midnight? That's not all night. It's just half the night. They're like, bang, got it. That's a hit.
Stop before you hurt yourself.
It's 3 a.m. I must be lonely.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Electric Acid.